Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 86, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun, as stood fast at his command. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 104th Psalm, Psalm 104. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coveredst it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, and that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, and which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quenched their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, and which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from His chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. And thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all, and the earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These weigh all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And that thou givest them, they gather. And thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. And thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. And thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. And thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and thy servant may behold by faith that at thy works they are so manifold. In wisdom hast thou made them all, and he may be given by thee to speak of all the creation of this world. Wherein are things creeping in the earth and in the sea innumerable, so that it also may be exclaimed, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Or it did bring thy servant to love thee. It did bring him to sing unto the Lord and to desire to sing unto the Lord as long as he lived. Then his meditation of thee that was so sweet, and he may be so glad in thee. Lord, remember us too, for we live in that same world in which thou givest all our eyes to behold, young and old. And by nature we take no notice of thee, but we look upon the work of our own hands, and we glorify ourselves and magnify ourselves in the sight of one another. Oh, give us to loathe ourselves this day, when we may read thy holy word, and when we may be given in this afternoon to consider for a moment, thy providence over all this world, but that it also may draw our hearts, even as it did draw the heart of thy servant. Oh, that we may have a heart that may go out after thee, our Maker, and that for the first time in our life we might miss thee. Give us to see whom and who that our Creator is, and who that we have left. For thy works are indeed manifold in the earth, but thy works in the way of grace are also manifold. And thou goest here and there upon the earth. With thy Spirit, man cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. But it is so necessary for each one of us. It is necessary for us in the preaching that thou may endue us with a fresh anointing of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive the matters to bring in the midst of our flock, and that it may be fitting for the need of the souls in our midst. That thy Spirit may also go from pew to pew among us. Lord, then we may be given in this morning to testify what thou sayest in thy word, and that this is the place wherein thou art pleased to dwell. And oh, that thou would also show it to be the truth now, even in this afternoon hour. That thy Spirit's presence may be felt among us, and that thou would bring thy word with power in our hearts, and that we could not leave thee in thy place any longer, that we would have no rest for our soul as we are traveling to eternity, and as we are partakers of all thy gifts in that state wherein we are born, but that our ingratitude may be set forth over against all thy long suffering, and that we may become so ashamed of ourselves. O, open unto us what our sin is, that we would say no longer that we have not transgressed, but, Lord, that our sin may be before our eyes, to be that which grieves us in our heart, because it is against such a good doing and a long-suffering God. Oh, that thy goodness indeed may lead us to a true repentance, young and old. Look upon thy church. Oh, that the meditations also in this afternoon of thy providence and of thy ways and thy hand and thine eye that is upon all in this world may indeed be for their instruction and for their great comfort, and that thou may give to rest in thee, in thy will and in thy good pleasure, that they may be content to wait until that time through all the tribulations wherein thou dost lead in this life, and that thou art pleased to remove them out of this life and to bring them into that place where all tears shall be wiped away from their faces. And when there shall be no more afflictions and trials and tribulations, where there shall be no more warfare, where the new man may receive his desire, and that in perfection the glory of God may receive its due. Lord, remember each one of us in all the needs and the cares of this life, as thou art the ruler and the governor of the entire universe, And thou dost essay to lay all our needs before thee. Look upon all that are in need in this world. Lord, that thou mayest supply for all that are afflicted with serious diseases and all those that are handicapped and invalids and blind and deaf and dumb and lame. And those that have needs of the mind, remember all that do become old. And wilt thou supply for the needs of the caregivers also, day by day, to give strength for each day. And may thou look upon all those that have, that also come to the aid of those that are in need, those that are firefighters, and the doctors and the nurses, and those that rush to accidents. Lord, wilt thou watch over and protect them also? And when they are also by times in dangers, and may thou bless the labors of their hands. Do remember all those that rule and reign over us. Lord, turn us again, draw our hearts. And wilt thou cause us as nations to turn back to thy word and to thy testimonies. Do look upon the unborn. Look upon those also in those places where there is great turmoil in this world. Where so many nations do gather against their rulers. Lord, wilt thou supply in all these conflicts. And thou knowest the unrest that is in this world. That thou thyself may watch over thy own church, wherever it is. And may thou grant that they may receive that courage and strength to go forward in that great tribulation which does seem to loom in the near future. Lord, that thou thyself may provide, and that thou may give that courage that is necessary, and that thou may comfort all those that stand in need of it, and encourage those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name. Do remember our own school, the school board, the principals, the teachers. Remember parents, do help as office bearers, each one in the instruction of our children in our own places. Look upon our children and our youth. Cause that the efforts that are put forth may be sanctified unto each and every one of them. And thou may cause also thy word to receive power when it may be by the simple means of instructors in this world that are full of shortcomings. Wilt thou take them all away? And wilt thou bless our children despite us and all our sin? Do look upon all those that bring thy word. Increase their number also in the midst of us and on the mission fields. And wilt thou bless the labors among the heathen and the Jews. Remember us in this afternoon hour. Lord, be on our right and on our left and fill us. Thy house with thy glory. That thy Spirit's work may be evident. And that in the last day, that it may be made manifest what thou hast wrought. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 169. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. And thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. We announce once again Mr. Ben Van Hagenbos wishes to join himself to our congregation from the RCNA at Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory by March the 8th. 169, all stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Then the angels of God did sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it was several years afterwards that the Lord Jesus was again received up into heaven. Who can fathom the greatness of the glory of the Lord in that place where He does dwell? And where we can read how that the hosts of heaven do magnify and glorify His name forever and forever. The Apostle John was caught up, we read, into the third heaven. And there he did hear words which were unspeakable and that are not fit for a man to utter. For the majesty and for the greatness of the Lord, that majestic being, that is something that we in our finite and humble state are not able to comprehend. And it will take a glorified body for God's children also to dwell in the presence of this God. And yet we may read in God's word that from this great and exalted place, the Lord also does look upon this world. Who is like, we read, unto the Lord our God? He is exalted far above all the creatures, and yet He humbleth Himself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And that is now the subject of our catechism instruction for this afternoon hour in Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10, verse questions 27 and 28. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Answer, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by His hand, He upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Question 28. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by His providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand, that without His will they cannot so much as move. So far our Lord's Day, God's providence. First, the nature of God's providence. And second, the comfort of the knowledge of God's providence. God's providence, first, its nature, and second, the comfort of its knowledge. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God? Congregation, how little are we conscious of the almighty and everywhere present power of God. How little do we think of this power? Every day, everything that does happen in our life and everything that does happen in our land and in our world, and we are so quickly attributing to second causes. The things that we can see, the things that we can feel, the things that we can test. And why is this? Because we do not believe. Faith, that is the substance of things hoped for, and that is the evidence of things that are not seen. And thus, the first cause, the cause of all causes, that is now something that we cannot see. And then, because we cannot see it, man, he denies it because he is without faith. For this reason, there are so many that do reject the providence of God. The Stoics, they substitute in its place fate and destiny. They say everything is changeable, and also God himself actually is changeable. Others, they say, yes, God knows. But God, though he sees, does not govern. God does not direct. God is only watching. We believe different. Or, what do we believe? Do we believe at all? Indeed, we profess it to be different, but do we truly believe it to be different? Or is this knowledge of the providence of God, is that also a knowledge that is, as our instructors say, of some advantage unto us? For what dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures? For whom does God provide? You say, the Lord, children, provides for everything. He provides for this entire world. And so it is. There is not a single thing. There is not a beast. And there is not anything of the inanimate creation, the things that do not move, the rocks. There is nothing. And there is no man, nothing. And there is nothing that is outside of the providence of God. God being the maker, God being the creator. He is, our instructors say, also the upholder. They speak about herbs and grass and rain and drought and fruitful and barren years. So we have read it also in God's word, how that the psalmist does speak about every part of the manifold creation of God. And we can read how that the fowls, how that the very lilies of the field, how that the sparrows, and that they are all under and that same hand of the Lord. That hand of the Lord has brought the animals into the ark. It was that voice of the Lord. What do we read, children? The Lord spake to the fish. We do not speak to a fish. But the Lord spake to a fish, and Then he did make that fish to be for a little while to the preserver of his own servant. He slew the fish in Egypt. He brought for the sake of his people all the plagues upon Egypt. Thus, in a general way, and the Lord, he is spreading his hand over this entire universe. But what is now the crown of the creation of the Lord? And that is man. And what is it, children, that we have and that the animals do not have? The animals, they have no soul. And the animals, they were not created in the image of God. But there is something that you and I were created to bear that was actually a likeness of God Himself. There were certain attributes that God has given unto His creature, that crown of His creation, that He may be in a very small form a likeness unto Himself. And now it is this crown of His creation that has fallen away from Him. And yet even though He has fallen so far and has departed so far, still there is a very special providence that is extending further than over the animals and over the inanimate creation. There is a special providence that is extended over mankind, that the Lord, He is giving to mankind what is necessary that He may still have dominion over all the beasts of the earth and our fathers' dimension, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Thus, a special care that the Lord has for a special part of His creation. But now there is also what we may call the very special providence of the Lord. And that very special providence of the Lord that does go over not only mankind, but that goes over His own people. Also, we are commanded in a very special way to look after the people of the Lord. To remember, we read in God's Word, especially the household of faith. That is the church of the Lord. These are they whom the Lord has loved, even from the foundation of the world. The Lord, He has established a covenant, and that covenant that does pertain unto this people. And the Lord has done everything necessary for their redemption. And then He has decreed and sent forth His Son into the world. And He has paid that price. He has fulfilled in His life that whole law of God. He has satisfied that law, the justice of the Lord for that people. And now if it is so, that the Lord has taken care of the redemption, if the Lord has taken care of the salvation of His people, would He also now not care for their temporal life here below? It is so. Because the Lord will also bring that people in. And thus every day, and thus every moment, and the Lord's care that is especially going over that true people of the Lord. The very ass of Balaam, he did act and he did speak on behalf of the Lord for His people. The Lord didn't make the bears to punish those children, boys and girls. The Lord is taking care of His children. And when those children did mock with God's servant, then the Lord used the ways of His providence. Oh, do we fear before God? Because the Lord did slay them, rain and hail. We can read it in the Word of God that has been sent time and again against the enemies of God's people. The very sun and the moon, they are made by the Lord to stand still for the sake of His own church. The earth that is commanded to open and to swallow up those that do rebel against the Lord. And when the Lord will rain fire and hail from and fire and brimstone from heaven against the wicked in this world, and then the Lord will first deliver His people out of it. The very smallest, the very minutest matters, they are governed by the Lord for His people. Some think it is beneath the dignity of the Lord who does dwell on high. Some say that the Lord, He only watches over in a general way. But now those little matters, they are not taken care of by Him. They say that is impossible because there are so many billions of people in this world. And there are so many animals and there are so many trees. Then the Lord, then it is not possible that everything, oh, then we have as such an inferior view of who God is. And the infiniteness of His being, of His greatness, of His majesty. Do you think, boys and girls, that there is anything that is hid from the Lord? And do you think that you are also too small, that the Lord does not see who you are, and that the Lord does not see where you are? That is not so. Because the very smallest matters, they are all known by Him. And then it was little Samuel who was laying in his place, and the Lord, He did speak unto that little boy. Do you ask sometimes that the Lord would also remember you? And do you ask that the Lord will also help you sometimes? And when you have also your needs and your fears in this world, and then you also have your own soul. The Lord Jesus spoke about the sparrows. That is a little bird. And those sparrows, the Lord says He is caring for those sparrows. The Lord, He does not let one single hair, we read, fall from the head of His own children without His own will. Oh, the psalmist, he says, put my tears in thy bottle, every tear and that is shed by the true people of the Lord. And that is in the bottle of the Lord. It is all known by Him. That is who the Lord cares for. And in what way does He care? What way does He care for the creation, for mankind, for His people? In the first place, the Lord preserves them. What does that mean? That means that the Lord upholds them in their existence. There are some, the Pelagians, they say that God only, He does not destroy them, but He does not actually uphold them. But congregation, the world, and man, they continue to exist only by the express influence of the Lord, that is, moment by moment, that the Lord, He is exerting a positive influence in the world. What do we read? In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Thus the Lord is preserving the entire world in its existence day by day. How does He do that? Mostly, He does that by the use of instruments, by the use of means. Mostly He does that when young people, you will soon help your father perhaps on the farm, and we will see them go out in the near future if the Lord will give it. When the means may be used to raise the crops in the field. And congregation, what are our thoughts of these things? Because it is very often when something is very special that we do acknowledge the Lord. But do we also acknowledge Him in those things which to us seem so very, very ordinary? They are actually miracles that are taking place day by day in this world for the sustenance of this entire world, that the Lord is providing food and drink, as we have read out of His Word, for the multitudes of all the beasts in the world and in the sea, and for the multitude of men, that the Lord, He is giving them, we read, their meat in due season. And then it is every day, as we have read, that He withholds His hand and they die. And He sends His Spirit and He quickens and they do live. Thus, the means, oh, let us never despise those means that the Lord is using that to us seem so very, very common. But without them, but in them, the Lord is pleased to preserve this world. Sometimes also supernaturally, because He did give that the manna that did come rained from heaven. Oh, then He is able to overcome the natural forces in this world, and that He may still sustain and preserve His own church. And so He can make the ravens from heaven to feed His servant by the brook. And so He is able to make the oil in the cruse not to fail, and so uphold, preserve in their being His people. Sometimes the Lord is able to do it even without those means, and that that He is able to preserve in His being the Lord Jesus, Moses. When they go not for many days without food and without drink, the world preserved. And for what? The world preserved for the sake of the kingdom of God. Not only preserved, but the Lord does more. And the Lord must do more for the sake of man, if He will continue in this world. Because we are not able even to put forth 1 ounce of our own strength when the Lord will not moment by moment concur in this or cooperate in this thing. Thus, that is the second manner wherein the Lord, He is providing for each one of His creatures, that He is giving not only food and drink that they may be preserved in their being, but that the Lord is giving strength moment by moment, that the Lord is giving to us moment by moment the ability to walk and the ability to move, the ability to engage ourselves, the ability to speak, the ability to breathe, Congregation, what a doctrine, what a truth. Does that truth ever break our heart? Think of that, young people. What does that mean? Or what do we do with that strength, moment by moment, that the Lord is giving unto us in this world? That we are using that strength for what? Or do we use that strength to serve our own purposes in this world? Do we use that strength to go our own way? Do we use that strength to speak our own words? Do we use that strength even to sin? Or where are the places that you go? What are the things that you do? Will you not consider when you will go to those places that you know that you do not belong? And you, when you will do those things that you know that you may not do, will you consider for a moment that it is the Lord Himself who continues moment by moment to give unto you that strength to walk and to talk and to do? Or that you may rush out of those places in your shame? Does that concurrence, does that cooperation of the Lord make then the Lord the author of sin? Boys and girls, young people, what must we do when we are with someone else and that will sin? Then we must flee. Because when we will go with them and when we will do with them, then we also will become a partaker of their deeds. Then we also are a partaker of that sin. Is that now so with the Lord? Think of Achan. Achan sinned. He took of the accursed thing. And now you say, was not the Lord with him? In a sense, he was. No, it was not to concur with his sin. But for every action and every movement, the Lord did still preserve Achan. He did not cut him off. And it is even more than a preservation. But for every action and for every movement, the Lord did give Achan the strength in his body and what was necessary in his mind to continue, that he would even commit that sin. No, that does not make the Lord the author of sin. It is in the just judgment of the Lord that the Lord, he concurs with this, that even a man would work out his own destruction because of that way that he chooses. No, the Lord is righteous to strengthen a man even that he would continue on in his wickedness, because he even hardened the heart of a Pharaoh, or he has hardened the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes, and that they would commit their awful deed, that it may be to the redemption of his own church. Thus, even sin that happens, as we read here, in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And yet it happens to the condemnation of man. Why? Because of the height wherein the Lord has created him, that is a free creature. Or because he is not as the animals know, because he is not as the creation know, but he has been created with his own will. And because of that height wherein the Lord has created him, the Lord is righteous and just to require of man back from him all that he has given. Thus, when man sins, he sins freely according to his own will and desires. And yet, every one of his actions are directed by the Lord, because there is an end, because the Lord has a purpose. That is what we call government. And when the Lord is directing everything that man is doing, good or bad in this world, directing it to a certain end, he has his own end in mind. And in the creation, then he has given in this whole world laws of the universe by which he is directing this universe toward his own end. So we can see the planets, they also go by laws, children. And then we may know where the stars are going to be, because we may see the patterns in nature and how that the Lord is governing all things, not in chaos, no, but in a way of order. While the earth remaineth, we read, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Thus everything in its orbit, everything in its order, in order that he may preserve, concur, but also govern everything to a certain and a determinate end. The animals, they have their instincts. And by those instincts, that whole species of animals, they are preserved alive. And what is the law man has given you and I? That is the moral law. That moral law that the Lord, he has written on our heart for what? For our preservation. And that we may continue in this world, we can see it. When man will not continue according to that law of the Lord, and then the whole world descends into chaos, and man, he does nothing but destroy himself. Sometimes the Lord diverts from his natural laws, where he works a miracle, but it is only to serve his own purposes. Sometimes the water does not act like water. That is what happened in the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Then those waters did not flow together, but they were divided. And when he brought him into Egypt, then the waters, children, we have never seen it, but the Lord did it. And the waters, they came down from above, and they stood upright as a heap of water. That was a miracle. Then he has gone against the laws of his own creation for what? There was an end. And the laws of creation, they are all serving that end. And when they do not serve that end, for the sake of his own church, and then he will stop them for a moment, and he will have everything be for the welfare of his people. And when men, he is straying away from that law of the Lord, then the Lord is also using it and directing it to his own ends. The very fall of man, directed to the glory of God, and that he may be glorified in not only his creation, but also in redemption. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, they all have sinned against the Lord. But through everything, the Lord is directing everything to bring about his own purposes. What a wonderful providence that we can read in the book of Esther, how that the Lord, he is guiding everything. And that man that dug his own pit, dug a pit for someone else, and he had to fall in it. Who was that, children? That was Haman. He raised the gallows. That was for Mordecai. No. No, it was not for Mordecai. The Lord says, it shall be Haman for yourself, and I will deliver my people. No, there is no such thing as chance in this world. No such thing as chance. Everything that is under the governing hand of the Lord, and then for a purpose. We read that He will make everything work together for the good of His own children. You say we read of chance in God's Word. Moses speaks about chance when he speaks about a bird's nest. And he says, if that bird's nest is by chance before thee in the way. And Solomon, he says, time and chance happeneth to them all. The Lord Jesus, he says that there came by chance a priest that way, a Levite that way. Oh, that does not mean that there is chance on the side of the Lord. That is a manner of speaking. That is from our side. That is something we had never planned. That is something that is unexpected. But because it is unexpected by us, does not mean that it was unexpected by the Lord. No, the Lord is directing. Was that chance? Was that chance when Ruth, as she happened to light upon a field and that belonged unto Boaz? No, then we may see that there was not chance at all. Not from the side of the Lord, but He is going to bring a blessing for His people. Let us sing Psalter 306. 306, 1 through 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise His name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, His name adore, from this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 1 through 4 of Psalter 306. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by His providence does still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. Patient in adversity, how much adversity is in this world. Every house that has its own cross, and then especially in the life of God's church, we can read in God's word that it is through much tribulation, and that is often also in outward things, although in a special way in the spiritual things, and much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. Job, he did not take a look at everything that happened in his life and attribute that to chance. But he knew, and it was by the instrumentality of Satan himself, but he knew that it was directly from the hand of the Lord. Thus, what seems like to us an accident is no accident from the side of the Lord. Last week, you know, we had to go to Chilliwack for a funeral. And when we were there, then we had an awful phone call. We had to make another visit because there were in that congregation a pair of distraught grandparents. A grandson who suddenly lost his wife, struck by a vehicle in front of his eyes. They had stopped to help another one that had an accident. And his wife, as she was standing there with the victim, and the boyfriend of that victim, and the husband, they were standing there together. And they watched as another car and did come by and took away the life of their wife and of their girlfriend. Cannot imagine. And congregation, where has now the world to go? Because in these things, then we often say, "Oh, if only. If only this, if only we had not stopped, if only," and then there is no end to it. And now our fathers, they speak about comfort. Comfort in the knowledge of the providence of God. Yes, there are circumstances, but oh, to know that everything that is so governed by the hand of the Lord, that there is nothing in this world that is happening without His will. And now to be patient in adversity, that is now to be resigned and to be brought into agreement with His will. That is not a fruit of our own field. No. Not when we have now several little children who are crying after their mother and we need to go on day by day, then that is not a fruit of our own field, to resign ourselves unto the will of the Lord. Oh, how much patience do we have in all the disappointments that we may have in our life? Oh, when we are married, and when our spouse, when our children, and they do not live up to the expectations that we may have had for them, when there are sicknesses, when there are disappointments, how much patience is living in our own heart? Oh, there is no greater blessedness.
in adversity. And then when we may be given truly to say from our heart, Thy will be done, but what is necessary for it, then we need to have an impression, or a living impression, of the sovereignty of the Lord and our own unworthiness. When the two sons of Aaron, they are taken away from him, then Aaron, we read, he held his peace. And when Eli has received that news of the destruction of his children, and then he did say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Patience in adversity, that is something that is beyond congregation our own strength, and that is a gift from above. On the other hand, it is possible to abuse the doctrine of the God, of the providence of the Lord, because there are also those that are sluggards, that are slothful. They say God will provide whether I do or whether I do not do. And so they do not have to rise up, but they turn once again upon their bed as a door we read turns upon its hinges. The sinner, he says, I am given to do all of this evil that lays now in the providence of the Lord. The sick that are refusing the medications that the Lord does provide for them. Oh, just as those who are not able to bring themselves to a serious seeking of the face of the Lord, and they are pointing to predestination as if the Lord does not honor His own institutions and the means that He has given for true conversion. Patience. Patience in adversity. Thankful in prosperity, probably more difficult yet than patience in adversity, is thankfulness in prosperity because of all the blessings. And what do? We take them all for granted. Who can make your heart break? Can you make your heart break? Now with all the prosperity that we may receive, it ought to break. Who can make their heart be like Mephibosheth? Who said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Under all the gifts and blessings and prosperity that we receive. Now we read in God's word that when Jeshurun waxed fat, he kicked. Oh, are not those thoughts also living in our heart? In his prosperity, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, this is the great Babylon that I have built. Does that live in the heart of God's people? Ezekiah, he showed the servants of that king of Babylon all his riches and all of his treasures. Yes, there is much talk of thankfulness in our so-called Christian world. And there is sometimes no lack of the singing of His praises and belief that it is all to the honor of the Lord. And we ought to sing. We ought to sing. But all that true thanksgiving, what does it do? It brings us congregation in the dust of self-abasement. If the Lord has never brought us low under it, then we do not know what it means to be thankful. And now to be thankful in prosperity, what does that bring in our life? What do we read in God's word? Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? Repentance. Thus thankfulness, that ought to bring us to where? That ought to bring us into obedience to the commandments of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say? If ye love me, keep my commandments, that we may see that you love me. Patience in adversity. thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. Firm trust in our faithful God and Father for the future. That is the blessing of the children. That is what we heard a little bit about last time. And when the Lord may give that blessed childlike trust, that may give rest and peace. Oh, there is nothing that can keep that church out of heaven. Not Satan, not sin, not the world. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "You shall be betrayed. You will be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And they shall put some of you to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." But He said, "Fear not them which kill the body. And after they have killed the body, then there is nothing more that they can do." No, the future of every one of God's people, that is in the hand of the Lord, and they are the apple of His eye. And that is why He admonishes them, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Is there not a great difference, young people, with all the superstition of our days? The palm readers, the horoscopes, the charms, all to help with fear for the future. Devil can do much. Devil, he is given, allowed, permitted power by the Lord, but he remains the devil. Oh, we hope that you never take part in all of these evils. Saul went to the witch of Endor. What was the fruit of it? It was despair. It was an awful despair because he had no desire for the Lord in his life. But now the Lord, He is able to give comfort because He is the God of the future and He does control the future. Oh, what do we read in Romans 8? Do you know what Paul says? He says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Or if we may know this, that God is for us. Paul was not afraid. No, he was not afraid for the future. All that he may have to endure because the Lord, He is the governor of this entire universe. And He is governing everything to a certain determinate end. And that is to His own honor and to His own glory and to the welfare of His own children. Is that not a blessing then to be a child? To be a child. What a rest. What a peace. When that people may experience a little bit of what it means to be a child. That in all things which may hereafter befall you, you may place your firm trust in your faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate you from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand, that without His will they cannot so much as move. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, We are rebellious creatures, and Thou dost bring Thy people back as children. Even as prodigals, O Lord, remember us too. Bring us back, O give us to meditate upon Thy providential hand. Make us so ashamed of ourselves that we could not continue in that same way that we have been born. But all Thy goodness, that it may break our hearts, and that we may have that desire to return unto our Maker, and that in Thy time, Thy blessed and dear Son may be made precious to our soul, as He that is able to reconcile us unto God again. remember us. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our homes. And be with each of us in the week to come. Thou knowest our place in this perishing world. Oh, that we may see it as a temporary place, and that we are travelers to our long home, and that our thoughts and our meditations of Thee may be sweet, and may be with longing desire, and that sin may be fled from in heart and life together, and that we may seek that forgiveness and reconciliation that is to be had in Thy only begotten Son, without money and without price. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 345, 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes. Whence shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and earth has made. 1 and 2 of 345.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.